All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, July 10th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. If you are living on the East Coast, it is hot. I'm sure it's hot everywhere, but it's definitely pretty steamy on the East Coast. And we got another day of that. They are calling for some rain maybe this weekend, which would be nice. I think last year in July, I think we got like 10 inches of rain. Not all at once, but we could use it. We could definitely use some rain. It is Wednesday. Usually paddle today. I'm having to take a break from paddling just for a mental break. Physically, I feel fine. Mentally, it's getting a little, getting up in my head a bit about it. So I need to step back, let some other people paddle, enjoy. I'm lucky because I get to be here all year. I paddle all year and, but this time of year, boy, we got a lot of paddlers and just a couple boats and it gets a little crazy. So I'm going to step back for a minute. My buddy Ben's like, where were you today? I said, I'm taking a break. Yeah. I actually got up this morning, went for a nice walk when my, we just got out of the holiday weekend. My oldest was down. And of course, you know, at 18, he's all skinny and lean and tall. And so I said, well, why don't we go for a walk? And so we walked. He's like, why don't we run a little? Which is funny because I used to drag him with me when I ran. I remember he was like 5 days old and I was running with him in a stroller on the Breakwater Trail. And he's always sort of tagged along with me through my years of running. And now he's running and he's like, we should try running. So we ran a little bit. I'm still having a little problems with my right knee, I don't want problems with my right knee is probably the better way to say it. It feels a little iffy. I also think I'm carrying a little extra weight than I usually would be, so could have something to do with that. But it was fun to do a little running with him, and so he's gone. He went back to Pennsylvania, and I got up this morning, went for a walk, and I said, I'm going to try running. So I've been doing a little bit of running, no real big distance. I'm walking with my buddy James in the morning, or what's today, Wednesday, Friday. We are walking and running. We're going to try it, and I need to find something else to call exercise because the paddling has been my exercise, but if I'm going to take a break, I need to find something to replace it. And so I might start doing a little bit of running to keep it chill. No big distances, but it did feel good. It felt good to be out there running a little bit. I kind of came out of my neighborhood and was sort of running on the road. And of course, my next door neighbor was walking her dog towards me. And I'm like, ah, you caught me. And of course, her and her husband are like super fit, you know. They got a gym in their garage and they look great and good for them. They do all the work, so they should experience it. But I'm like, damn it, you caught me running. She's like, it's good, man. Do what you can. And I was like, thank you. And so anyway, that's what's going on. To be honest, man, this last couple weeks, last week, I've been a little grumpy, right? A little bothered, a little out of sorts. Everything's fine. You know, I didn't punch anybody or anything, but, you know, I can just feel it in my persona, right? Was at a meeting the other day. My arms are all crossed. I'm like, I'm not reading. Last week, I guess it was Monday, I went to the meeting. Of course, this week we are starting the ninth step. Let me grab the manual of life here. In the ninth step, we are made direct amends, right, to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And these steps are really hard to talk about, right? Because, man, first of all, you got to get to the ninth step, right? And like for me, I had to get to the ninth step mentally where I should be, right? Because for me, all these steps, especially these steps, right? These really expose the self-centered side of me, right? I went to the meeting on Monday. It was all grumpy, had my arms crossed. I wasn't going to read, right? I don't know what my problem. The problem is I was off all week. And as weird as that is, right? Because in my mind, you know, in my, you know, teenage mind, you know, off is good, but really what I've learned for this self-centered bastard is that I need to go to work. And a good day's work, I suffer enough and I can, you know, tame the demons. But when I have a week off of doing really not much of anything, especially the week we've had, which is you know, we've had so many people here. You either can go to the pool, you know, and I'm not complaining, right? We can go to the pool. Or I can go paddling, which is great. Or I can sit in traffic, which is not great. Or I sit in the house, and I feel like I've been doing a lot of that. I've been sitting in the house a lot, just watching TV, laying around, pretty lazy. And, you know, that's what holidays are about, relaxing and sort of recovering. But it made me sort of toxic. And so when I went to the meeting on Monday, I could feel it. I was a little grumpy. And all I kept hearing people say is, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And even the guy that was leading the meeting, who, you know, of course, didn't find somebody to share, right? And so he's just up there by himself. He's going to lead it on his own, which is fine, but, you know, just another little scoop of fuel to put on the fire. I think if you're going to take a commitment and it's going to be one that requires you to bring somebody in to speak, you need to find somebody to speak. That's why we give the freaking commitment away. We don't take it for 4 years. It's hard to find people to speak. That's why you get new people. New people go find new people. So anyway, it started off on the wrong foot. But, you know, and he was sort of talking about him having to do this. This is something I have to do. And I keep, every time somebody says that to me, that they have to do this, I'm like, who's that serving, right? When you have to do something, there's fear-based. There's fear involved. And when it's fear involved, it's self. And when self's involved, you know, it is, you're missing the point. I'm missing the point. Right. And so I was just all freaking toxic. And then listening to the step, and it's an important step. It is very important. But at this point, at least in my career, getting to sobriety, you know, the first time I did the ninth step, you know, I had to, right? Same old shit. Fear based, got to do it, check it off my list. And yeah, it just wasn't a great start.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed the first time you walk into Wrigley Field. Our heroes wear pinstripes, heroes in blue. Give us the chance to feel like heroes too. Forever we'll win, and if we should lose, we know someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way. We are one with the Cubs, with the Cubs we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans. Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the ivy in the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. And someday we'll go all the way.
Someday we will go all the way, right, to the 12th step. But yeah, you know, the ninth step is, it requires so much work, and I've shared this before, but it is what it is. And at this point, it's really, you know, it has to stop being about having to, and it gets to start being we get to. And there's just this transition that takes place. And it's, you know, I've talked about it, and it's hard to talk about, and it's hard to explain because, you know, I had this, it's funny, I have a daughter, and she's 12, and she's living her best life, right? And they had this big ordeal yesterday down at the old pool, right? I was at work, my wife's home, my daughter's home. We live in a little development that has a pool, right? And if you've ever lived in a little development with a pool, you know, a lot of kids go to the pool. And so we take things to the pool, right? And you know, my wife and I said, listen, whatever we take up there, we're just leaving up there. You know, it's sort of a small community. We all know one another. So we take up stuff and we leave it. And when you leave stuff at the pool, what you're saying is this stuff is for everyone to use, right? That's the point. And when I go up to the pool, like I always go up there and there's these pool noodles, right, that you float on. I don't know. We never bought one, but there they are. And every time I go, I like to float on a noodle. And, you know, I put the noodle back. I don't take it home or anything. But that's just sort of the rules of the local, our little public pool here. And yesterday, I guess, my daughter has an inflatable avocado, right? This big inflatable avocado that she had to have, which is fine. You know, nothing expensive, just a big, it's a raft. It's the shape of an avocado. Well, she took it up to the pool and she forgot her avocado up there. And of course, what happens? The other kids used it, right? And then it got deflated and it was a huge ordeal. And so I get home and apparently one of the girls who was using the avocado got yelled at by my daughter for using the avocado, right? And it was a big deal and their feelings got hurt. And you know, 12-year-old kids will say scream and whatever they do and not think about, you know, the repercussions of it. So, of course, the little girl's mother came to our house yesterday and wanted to have a conversation. And I guess we weren't here. And so I got home. Of course, that's, you know, I get to go to work and then I get to come home and be a referee. And so I get to come home and my wife's like, so-and-so's mom's going to come down because of this incident that happened at the pool. You need to talk to her. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. And then I'm like, why? Why do I have to talk to her? I wasn't even here. I was at work. I'm innocent. And she's like, well, she came by, but we weren't here. And she's going to probably end up coming back by later. And you're going to have to talk to her. And I'm like, oh, my God. All right. So whatever. I don't even know what we did last night, but we're sitting around. And then we get a text. You home? And my wife texts her back, yes. And so she goes, I guess so-and-so's mom's coming down to talk. And I'm like, well, great. And I go, well, you guys get up. Come on, we'll go talk to her. My wife's like, I'm not talking to her. My daughter's like, I'm not talking to her. And I'm like, well. And so I'm looking out the window, and I don't see her coming. I'm like, Teresa, come on. Get your ass up off the freaking couch and come with me and talk to this lady because this is your deal, not mine, right? And so she finally gets up, and we walk down there and end up having a conversation. And, you know, my daughter's like, it was my fault. Right, she had to finally admit it was her own fault that got us to this point, right? And then she needed to make it an amends, right? She needed to say sorry. And the mom was actually really cool. It was funny because we're walking, you know, I'm walking from our house and she's walking from her house and we're sort of meeting in the middle. And it was like a Western, like we're going to have a shoot-off, right? That whistle, or whatever it does. But it was funny. And her and I were laughing. You know, to everybody else, it's like the world's coming to an end. But for me, I know what this is, right? It's just somebody doing something that doesn't want to recognize it. And, you know, an apology has to be made and they don't want to do it, right? So they have to, right? And so, of course, after the whole thing was done, we're walking back and my daughter's looking at me. She's like, I don't want to apologize, right? And I'm like, well, Teresa, you know, you have to. This is something, you know, because these are things that we drag around. And I start, you know, sort of laying into her with a bunch of, you know, AA baloney. And she don't get it, right? And she's like, you know, she just doesn't understand why she should have to apologize to somebody who was mean to her. And I'm trying to explain, right? Because, right, we get to make an amends. We get to clean it up. We don't have to drag this. We don't have to talk about this tomorrow, right? We can end it today, make an amends, and leave it. But she doesn't get it. And it's hard to explain. And it's whether it's my daughter or anybody else, you know, this is a program that we get to do, right? We do not have to. And one of the things that makes me so frustrated when people say they have to is I'm like, you do not. You can go back out and drink. There is nobody, unless I guess if you're court ordered to go to a meeting, but nobody's making you. You get to do this. And there is something that happens over time that we start to transition from this. And I've said this before. My buddy Matt used to say, I am not a victim today. Right, because when you are doing things you have to do, like if you have to go to meetings, if you have to do these steps, if you have to chair a meeting, you are a victim, right? Or a volunteer. And actually, they probably fall more under the category of volunteering than they do a victim. But it is a gift. right? This is something you get to do. It will not work if you have to do this. I don't have the heart to say it, though, right? And that's what I get all twisted up inside at a meeting about, is this listening to people say they have to do this. And I've been doing this long enough, right? I've learned, man, I can't do this because I'm afraid of what the repercussions are that if I don't. I can't do this because of the repercussions of my family and what they're going to say. And, you know, this is that's why we have the first step. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. It doesn't say we have to admit that right? It doesn't say we have to. We humbly admit, right? We admit. I've come in both ways. I've come in complete deflation, right? And when you have to do this, you've had complete deflation, right? But when you surrender, right? When you surrender on the outside and on the inside, then this becomes something that you get to do. And when that is the case, you have to you should try to let go of ego, right? Because to me, ego is fear-based, right? The only person, ego, self, right? The only people that get scared are ego and self. And I know they're the same thing, but, you know, the humble guy is not afraid, right? I'll take whatever punishment I get. I know what I've done. I apologize. Please forgive me. I'm ready for my punishment. You know, what is it going to be? You know, your punishment is that you have to apologize. So that's just a weird time right now in the steps for me. It's hard. Because honestly, if we don't get this, until I got this, none of this shit really helped, right? I call it sort of like practice recovery. And we're going through the motions. And at some point, right, and this is what happened to me, at some point this light went off and I was like, oh, wow, right? Because I came here for many years because I had to, right? My first year was an outpatient recovery and the requirement was I had to go to meetings. Right, I had to go to the outpatient recovery meeting every Thursday night at 8 o'clock because I had to. Right, I didn't understand that I got to. I had to. It was part of the requirement for, you know, the program and the patient. I'm sure insurance, you know, is part of insurance. I definitely had to, and I had to go to a lot of meetings, and I had to take meetings into the jails, and I had to meet with my sponsor, and I had to work with, you know, do these steps. I had to do it for a long time. But then at some point, you know, after drinking, right, and dragging my sorry ass back in here, I started to have this moment, a spiritual awakening, right? The spirit, you know. It was told to me early on, you have to do the next right thing. And I was like, I don't understand what that means. And I've shared before, it was always the example that I always use is putting the shopping carts back, right? I was just that guy. And I've heard people talk about it recently, all of the next right things, right? The ice trays, picking up the trash, picking up your clothes, putting them in the dirty clothes, putting your towel away. All of these little things, these little battles that all of us have, right? But when I came in this program, I was so far gone that I didn't do any of those things. I didn't put ice trays back. I didn't put shopping carts back. I didn't make my bed. I didn't put my clothes away. You know, when I moved out of that apartment where I got sober, man, it took like a truckload just to get all the garbage and shit out of my closet from clothes that were falling off the hangers that were in the back. It's just careless. And those are the little humble things that we have to start doing. And it isn't because we have to, right? It's because we get to. And something started to happen early on in my recovery where I started to finally get it. Right. Then we go through the period of not being too centered on the beam. Right. And that is a lot about this step. Right. Making those amends, reaching out, finding those people. You know, I was the guy when I first came in the program, I was ready to say sorry. I had been such a shithead for so long. Right. I was ready to clean it up. The problem is that I was serving self. I'm like, look at me. I'm making amends. Look at me. I'm making everything better. No, because in my mind, I had to. And that is self-based, and that is not the point. You know, it's not the point. And it isn't really until we find that point that we can even make the list. I shared this about the eighth step, right? You know, I had to make a list of all the people that had harmed me because I couldn't see it. Self would not allow me to see it. All I could see was through the eyes of a victim, Tom, or volunteer Tom, right? Not as humble Tom. And so all of the bad things that ever happened to me that were my fault, I blamed on other people. It takes a shift. It takes a spiritual awakening, right? Because if you are not awake, your spirit is not awake, at least for me, that means I'm being run by self. That means I'm being run by the devil. The devil. We'll call it self, right? But that's how... Why would self put a shopping cart back? That takes time out of self's life. Right? Why would I put the ice trays? Why would I fill them? That's taking time away from self's life, right? Why would I do any of these things? Why would I make my bed? I'm just going to get in it again later, right? These are all the great ideas of self. And self is what got me here, right? That's my issue. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I'm a person that doesn't put away shopping carts. And I can't drink alcohol, right? But like I've said, once we put that drink down, all we're left with is all the self problems. And the steps help us identify it, first of all, that we're selfish, right? And second of all, that we got a lot of selfish issues. And this is another, you know, the ninth step, you know, being centered on the beam. I wanted to apologize to everybody. You know, I would do stupid things. I'd want to pull over and apologize. Serving self. But, you know, it talks about being centered on the beam. We start to have to understand, what is this behind this, right? You know, there'll be people, it even says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, right? And so, you know, I've met people, I've got to make that amends. It's like, I don't know, man. Is it worth it? Sometimes, you know, I don't really think it's about the amount of people we make amends to. I think it's about understanding that we get to, right? It's just like the fourth step. My buddy Matt says, you got this, right? We don't need to do this whole freaking list again. You're willing, right? Your motivation isn't about self, right? It's about what it ends up for me becoming is really cleaning up this new relationship I have with this new God. Right, and the new God is just a place of peace, right? And God speaks through me through emotional or emotional is not the right word. God speaks through me through my gut, right? I feel it in my gut. I don't hear God, I feel God. And when something comes up that I need to clean up, I feel it in my gut. There's no words, right? I just feel it like, oh, God, I need to fix that. That's bad, right? But that's the change, right? Instead of, you know, how can I do this? I'm going to be so embarrassed. I'm going to be looking like a fool. Like, and I know that's what my daughter was thinking. I can't apologize. First of all, they already don't really like each other, right? It's this 12, 13-year-old age kind of behavior, and they already bicker, right? And so to her, making an amends or an apology is the last thing that she would want to do because... You know, but she's not looking at it as, she doesn't feel it in her gut. She feels it in her head. But she's also 12, right? But I used to act the same way when I was, you know, in my late 30s. And so it's really about feeling it, finding it to be uncomfortable. I'm still in shock on, you know, how I live my life, living by that first thought, right? I shared this the other day, you know, it's always been that selfish first thought, the loudest, you know, it's the top ad on Google, right? Whenever I'm searching, the first ad that pops up is usually self, www.self.com. That's the one that always pops up first. And I got to go down a couple search bars and find, you know, www.humility.com and see what that one is, or God.com, because God's answer is there. It's usually not the first or the brightest or the loudest, but if I seek a little farther, right, I can find it. And that's funny. I never really thought about that, but it's like a Google search, right? The easiest, most self-based one pops up first, right? The most money thrown at it. But if you want to find like the good stuff, right, you got to go into the second or third search bar or search page to find, you know, probably what you're looking for. It doesn't include ads and all that shit. I was amazed when I realized, God, you know, you do that. And this is just like a couple years ago, right? Just a couple years ago, I started realizing this, these voices that I deal with, right? You know, I deal with a lot of anxiety, or I've had anxiety in my life. I do not really have it anymore. I find anxiety very fascinating. I find all of this quite fascinating, to be honest with you, this whole spiritual side of it. You know, I was sitting on the couch last night watching TV, and I just was searching around for some shit to be stressed out about. I've talked about this. It's like going down a hallway, just opening doors. Trouble in here? Who's in here? You know, it's, I mean, I started worrying about shit that has, like, was silly. Like, I was just, I feel like this toxic sheet has been laid over me for the whole week, and I've been inconvenienced, and self has been running rampant, and I haven't liked it. I felt, you know, last night I'm like, that's what's been going on. I've just been inconvenienced and full of self all week, and, you know, I recognize it. One cool thing about that is when, and I feel it, right? Because I have felt it in my gut. I can feel it in my face, right? I get that fucking resting bitch face looking thing going on and just seem really bothered and not praying, right? I guess I haven't been meditating. I have been going to meetings, but the meetings I've been going to, you know, so I don't know. This ninth step, 10th step coming up next week is going to be good. You know, this is the step where I go through and try to figure out what my fucking problem is on a moment by moment basis, so I don't have to do all these over again. But the ninth step is important. I do think, you know, if you are at the ninth step and it's been an honest journey and you have started to feel that spiritual awakening, you start to feel that change of something that you have to do instead of something you get to do, and you feel it in your gut, right? Instead of someone telling you, you need to go make an amends, right? You know, at some point, you know, I would love to see my daughter have a situation like this pop up and her go, you know, I was wrong. I made a mistake and I need to run down the street and make an, say sorry to what's her name. And because that was my fault, right? Because if you feel it, you know, that's the transition that eventually happened to me. And I hope that's a transition that happens to all of us, right? But unfortunately, if a situation comes along, regardless if it's your fault, all we can do is point the finger. You know, we're just not ready for some of these steps, right? We need to go back, right? We need to start looking at that third step, right? And start, you know, making better choices and finding out, you know, the real battle between self and humility, because that, I think, is what sinks us, right? So centered on the beam, ninth step, great step. You know, listen, if you got to make some amends, get into it, right? We got to clean it up. Just make sure you're motivated correctly, right? That you're centered on the beam. It says that in the book, right? It says it in the book. All right, well, let me read the daily reflections, and then I guess I'll post this. It wasn't horrible. I don't know. 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 are really, you know, to me, these steps are for people that are you know, ready for them, right? I would imagine if you're in your first year and you're on your seventh and eighth step, I mean, I'm sure it's possible, right? But, you know, whatever. I hope everyone's doing great, right? Towards peace and serenity, July 10th. When we have taken a square look at some of these defects, have discussed them with another, and have become willing to have them removed, our thinking about humility commences to have wider meaning. Interesting. Interesting. When we have taken a square look at some of these defects, right, self, have discussed them with another, and have become willing to have them removed, our thinking about humility commences to have wider meaning. You know, that's the other thing. When you're, for me at least, a sponsor is so key, right? Especially one that has a good time, right? Understands. They can be a huge help, right? And sort of help you stay on the beam, like a little gymnast, right? And you don't want to fall off the beam. And there's always the coach that's ready to see you flip and then protect your head from hitting the beam, right? So, you know, these are great to work with a sponsor. In fact, you should definitely be doing this with a sponsor. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 74. When situations arise which destroy my serenity, pain, or excuse me, let me say that again. When situations arise which destroy my serenity, pain often motivates me to ask God for clarity in seeing my part in the situation. Admitting my powerlessness, I humbly pray for acceptance. I try to see how my character defects contributed to the situation. Could I have been more patient? Was I intolerant? Did I insist on having my own way? Was I afraid? As my defects have revealed, I put self-reliance aside and humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. The situation may not change, but as I practice exercising humility, I enjoy the peace and serenity, which are the natural benefits of placing my reliance in a power greater than myself. Yeah, all those words that I said, and that's pretty much it, right? That's, and those words are so interesting, right? When situations arise which destroy my serenity, right? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? When we are at that place and things come into our life, right, which destroy my serenity, pain often motivates me to ask God for clarity in seeing my part in the situation. See, that's one of those interesting, God for clarifying and seeing my part in the situation. So, you know, what I was, that's sort of what I'm talking about, right? You know, but, you know, I'm not going to get into it. I had to really give up my whole idea of what God was, right? That's exactly what I'm talking about. I feel it in my gut. This is God speaking through me. It's uncomfortable. It's in my gut. And I know that I need to make a change. That's a great reading. Read that. That's today's Towards Peace and Serenity. I love it. July 10th. Anyway, yeah, thanks. Oh, thanks for letting me share. Have a great one. Bye.
And here's to the man and the legends we've known, teaching us faith and giving us hope. United we stand and united we'll fall, down to our knees the day we win it all. Yeah, Ernie May said, oh, let's play tune. Or did he mean 200 years? In the same ballpark, a diamond, our jewel, the home of our joy and our tears. Keeping traditions and wishes made new, a place where our grandfathers, fathers, they grew. A spiritual feeling if I ever knew. And if you ain't been, I am sorry for you. For that last winning run, and I'm crying and covered in beer. I look to the sky and know I was right to think someday we'll go all the way. Yeah.